I'll wait for Sam's green light. Thank you, brother. The name of the message today is called Walking in the Newness of Life. The Lord dealt with me. I was going to go to part three of my message that I was doing in Exodus called Coming Out of Babylon. But we had a baptism today, and the Lord redirected my thoughts and focus on this message as we were talking downstairs one night, and the Lord put it on my heart. And all that kept coming to my heart was Naaman. And I began to research and ponder and contemplate. I thought, well, the Lord gave me something, but I didn't realize it was going to be a sermon. Until I had, Shirley and I were talking about things one day, and I told her, well, I think that's going to be a sermon, not just some other kind of thing that the Lord's given me personally. So, amen. So that's what it turned into be. And we're going to go there. And I'm going to ask that you would follow along with me now over to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. Amen. Can you go there with me? 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to say to you today that Naaman is a lot like you and me. Amen? When we look at the life of Naaman, you see a picture of yourself and myself. Amen? Naaman was a man who had to learn the ways of God. But Naaman was also a man who was a heathen. But yet God used Naaman. Many say that in the books of antiquities and tradition, not that I'm into tradition, and I'm certainly not, but through the books of antiquities, research, it is said that Naaman was the man, the archer, that shot Ahab in that battle before Ahab died. It was interesting to me to read that. In any case, I'm hoping that we can all come together today and learn from what it means to walk in obedience. Because let me tell you something, obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, obedience is where the power comes down in a person's life. Amen? This is what we all need in our own personal lives. We need that more than anything else right now. That ability to get before God, to hear from God, to apply what we learn from God in our own lives. And to have that willingness to walk it out by faith. To not compromise. Because when you prove yourself to God, these are the proving grounds of faith while we're on earth. When you prove out your faith to God, you climb higher. You take back that ground, that higher ground that the devil stole in your life. God governs not only His own people, but God governs the nations, as we found out with Naaman. Amen? The whole world is in His hands. Truly it is. Nothing happens without the eye of God on it. Amen? By the way, Naaman means pleasantness and friendliness. It's interesting because truly, Naaman was a man who was beloved of all those who knew him. But before we go any further, let's go now to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I would like to begin to share with you. But everybody was favorably disposed towards Naaman in spite of his leprosy. They cared about him. So let's go now. It says here in verse 1, now Naaman captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also mighty man in valor. But, now here is where it begins, but he was a leper. Now, what does it mean to be a leper? In the Word of God, leper often is a metaphor for a person who is leprous with sin. Their soul is a leper because of sin. Sin is the problem. And when you have sin reigning in your life, you are leprous. Amen? And this is something that we all need to know, realize, and understand, that we all must be cleansed. And this is an interesting story, because I never even thought about it until that day that the Lord put it in my heart. But I thought, how perfectly fitting. How fitting. But this is a wonderful picture, word picture, of you and me in this life, in this world full of compromise and sin. How that we live in the world, but we don't have to be of it. Amen? It goes on to say, but he was a leper. Now that's a huge statement. The question is, that should be applied to all of us. That question, am I a leper? Am I a leper? Are you playing with sin in your life? Would you want to be cleansed and clean? Would you want to be set free and delivered? I believe you would. I know I would. Truly, I want to be made whole. What about you? What about all those who are online? All those who would listen to the CD later? You who are sitting on that chair. Are you leprous? Are you desiring to be clean of God? Let's go on to read. And the Syrians had gone out by companies. Now understand, now this statement, Syria was an arch enemy of Israel. Syria was no friend of Israel. But this is really interesting. And had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now she was the mistress of a maid of Naaman's wife, a woman who did all the cleaning, the work around their home. And she was the one that heard the voice from God. Now, this is another picture that we all need to understand. Those of you might be on the mission field. You might be held captive. You might be in jail. You might be at work. Are you going to be that one to raise that voice about the Lord liveth? He is able to heal. He is able to hear your voice when you pray. Don't ever give up when you pray. Even if you don't see the answer, don't ever give up. Because God has a way of hearing. God knows how to answer in His timing. Don't ever give up. It goes on to say, I'm reminded of Isaiah 30:21, where it talks about this is the way, walk ye in it. Don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. When you hear that voice, when you hear that voice in your own spirit, no matter where you are at work, you could be in prison, you could be here or there, you could be shackled in sin. And God, if you cry out, God can still speak to you. He can convict your heart. He can convince you of that sin and show you a better way, a more excellent way. Amen? God is able. Are you willing? It goes on to say here, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord for that. You could be that voice and witness to the world around you. God can heal. Now, understand that in those days, you had kings that would send letters to other kings. Now, this was a man, this king from Syria, didn't know any better. He was going to write a letter to the king, more than likely Jehoram, which would have been Ahab's son at the time, would have said, "Can you heal my servant, my man of valor in war? Are you able to heal him?" Now, he didn't know, but Jeroham also didn't acknowledge Elisha. Nobody acknowledged him. We'll soon read what happened here, won't we? Syria had been an enemy since the days of King Solomon. According to 1 Kings 11:25, do you remember that? Way back. But let's go on now. It goes on to say, in verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 5, "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.'" That's in the land of Israel. Are you in the land of Israel? Are you in the land among the living? Who is true Israel? True Israel are those that are born again Christians. Those who are truly saved, that is true Israel. Did you know that? There was a great witness to the land of Israel. That great witness to the land of those who are a Christian walking in the light. This is a metaphor. "And the king of Syria said," let's go on here. "The king of Syria said, 'Go to, go. I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver." Now, 10 talents of silver in today's day and age would equal to round about $3,600,000 in today's silver standard. And then, of course, in the gold would have been $9 to $10 million and 10 raiments of clothing. That's a lot of money that he looked at his servant. He didn't hold anything back. That's a lot of money that he gave on behalf of his servant. And it goes on to say, "And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." Oh man, praise God, praise God. And it goes on to say here, in verse 6, "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.'" Oh my. We can't solve the problem of sin. No man can solve it. According to Matthew 19:26, it takes the hand of God. Only God, by His power, can heal and save you. No man can take that place. Many a false prophet and false teacher out there think they can do things that they were not called to do, thus becoming a false prophet, false teacher, false whatever, whoever they are. The Benny Hinns of this world who will sit there and grunt and groan and growl at people when he's so-called filling them with the Holy Ghost. And these people will sit there thinking that they're dumb, deaf, and blind because they're leading somebody who is leading, they're following a leader, leading them into the ditch. And understand and know that, now, Benny Hinn would be the kind of man among many others. I could name a lot of names, Creflo Dollar, many others, 10 or 12 come to mind. And he would sit there and growl at people and try to whoosh them over like he's got the filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing of the sort, my friend. It's all deception. It's a black mark against Christianity. People mistake it for something God is doing. It's all designed by the devil. Goes on to say here. Now listen to this. And he rent his clothes and he said, "Am I God?" Now this is King Jehoram. "To kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Now in those days, you see, remember now, Israel and Syria were arch enemies. And they were keen on the disputes that they had one with another, knowing and understanding that there were many angles that would bring nations under fire one against the other, that would bring them into war, deadly war. And this was just another angle. Now, understand that the devil will come at angles to us. And he's going to speak to you or send other people to you and have an angle, have a different motive. And you see, understand that all sin is a quarrel with God, is it not? Every sin that we commit is a quarrel against God in our lives. Goes on to say, "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." You see, he didn't acknowledge Elisha. Nobody acknowledged Elisha. But Elisha caught wind of it. All for the glory of God. He was going to say, there is a prophet. There is one who can hear from God. Do you hear from God today in your life? Are you giving way to God's voice in your life? Are you hearing with both ears? Matter of fact, that's why we got two ears and one mouth. Amen. That we listen more, that we talk less. Amen. Goes on to say here, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." Now understand that Elisha was a man of God. Elisha heard from God. Elisha was not one to compromise having the double portion of the anointing that came from Elijah. Having a double portion of that anointing. He knew God. He knew God's ways. Now here we have Naaman, a proud soldier. A man who God by his own hand used to rout many an enemy from the land of Syria. Understand too, now again, God is no respecter of persons. God is willing and able to use any and all who would have a heart disposed towards Him somehow, some way. God knows. God knows the hearts of all men. He knows what's in their heart. He knows what they're willing and able to bear, to hear, to learn, to do, and to walk in. He knows. Goes on to say, "So Naaman with his horse..." Now he had a chariot. Understand, he had gold and silver, raiment, with all these people that escorted Naaman all the way down 150 miles from Syria, 150 miles to this place in Israel. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Now, understand, he was at his door. Keep that in mind. And saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Oh, but Naaman was wroth. Are you kidding me? In all the waters of Damascus, the Farbar River and the other two rivers, are they not cleaner than all the rivers of Israel? And you want me to go dip in this ditch of water that all the land knows is dirty, and I'm going to be clean from this water? Huh? No. But to obey is better than sacrifice. This was a lesson he had to learn. But this is a lesson in all our lives. God is going to ask you to do things that you're not ready or willing to do. But it takes obedience. A willing heart. A heart that will believe God. Believe God for the outcome. Can you hear that? Do you hear that? According to John 5, John 1, 12. Goes on to say, but Naaman was wroth. Oh, he was wroth, he was angry. And he went away and he said, behold, I thought. Isn't that a problem with mankind today? We think. I thought, therefore it should be the way I think. It should be the way I think it should be. I thought that he would come out and the glory of the heavens would open. I thought that he would come out and give great respect and pomp and celebrate that I, Naaman, came all the way from Syria, 150 miles full of gold and silver, 10 raiments of clothing. I have power. But yet, now understand that no man is beyond humility. No man or woman is beyond the scope of walking in the humbleness of God, walking before Him with great humility. Amen? This is what we need to do. This is what we need to learn. Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Oh my, what a lesson. And it goes on to say in verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He thought there was going to be a grandeur time, a day of spectacular miracle, a time when all eyes would see the glory of God come down and gloriously heal this Naaman. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? God is looking for people that would not take the glory away from Himself, from God. All glory belongs to God. Amen? All glory goes to God. Oh, he thought. That could be a sermon right there. That's a sermon right there. I thought. Oh, that gets people into trouble. Instead of hearing from God, people go off on their own time and time again and fall on their face, one blithering blunder after another, one callous mistake after mistake, and wonder why they are not blessed. God cannot use pride, and God will not use rebellion, and the devil cannot use humility. It's where that humility comes into play, where obedience meets faith, and they come together and God's power goes right through the middle of it. God's power meets that faith and obedience. It goes on to say here, but Naaman was wroth and went away. I read that already. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. In a rage. You see, the Lord himself, he descended from above. He came down to our level. He put off, and he's wanting you and me to put off the old man, that we would go into that river of death, go down, buried with him in the waters of baptism, that the sins of death may be buried forever. And they would come up walking in the newness of life according to John 14:6. Amen. Let's go there now. It says here in verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee, now understand now, they used the word my father. This was in the Syrian language, a way of showing great respect. It was a delicate situation. Naaman was in a rage, wroth with the whole situation, angry, beside himself, because he was humiliated in his own mind's eye. But you see, understand that they were trying to coddle him a little bit. They were trying to speak to him with great respect, which we all must do. And they were saying here, it goes on to say now, it goes on to say, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Isn't that the truth? If you had done some great thing, thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? In other words, it's a lot more simpler. You would have crawled on your knees 150 miles if he asked you to. But how much better is it that you just go into the water, though it be dirty in your eyes, dip 7 times and thou would be made whole? You came 150 miles all the way from Syria. Are you going to go back in a rage and have nothing to show for it? You see, that's the story of many people's lives today. Because they thought it should be a certain way. They thought that the church service ought to be run a certain way, and the preacher better sound like somebody else, and he better be a certain someone, and if he's not, I'm not coming back. I'm out of here. I don't need him or her or whatever. You see, and that's just one example out of many that a person could give. one example out of countless hundreds of examples in a person's life of why you think it could be something at work. It could be not getting your way with your wife or husband, children, relatives. I thought, people aren't hearing me. People don't acknowledge me. People don't hear me, see me, know me, understand me. And I understand that, believe me, I do. But you see, it's not just about you and me. Truly, it's not. It's about walking in obedience that God gets the glory. It's all about every one of us. Every one of us giving glory to God, though it be hard. Though He would have you do something that you don't think is appropriate or that you would not agree with in the natural flesh. You would think, I can't do that. I just can't. I won't. But God requires obedience. God requires that we walk by faith in Him. Faith that He requires will develop obedience, whereby the power of God will come down right there, right at that point, and meet you and heal you. It goes on to say, where am I? 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. Nope. I can imagine what that would have been like watching Naaman on the riverbank. If he dipped himself once, no, it's what's going on. I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. A second time, he goes down. Well, this is embarrassing. I mean, I'm going to go back to Syria and everyone's watching me and nothing's happening. And that the king is going to laugh at me. People are going to laugh and scoff at me. I'm not getting my healing a third time, a fourth time. What are people going to think? What's going on here? I'm in the dirty waters of the Jordan. I've been in the Jordan River. I know how dirty it is. A fifth time, nothing happens. Down he goes a sixth time. Oh no. Oh boy. I'm losing faith fast. But you see, God tells you and me specifically what to do. We are to specifically obey. He goes down a seventh time, and a seventh time he comes up far and away healed. Healed from that leprosy. Healed from that sin problem. Because we didn't give up. I obeyed God and I went and I did what He told me to do. Whatever He told you to do, do it. Whatever it might be to get rid of that sin problem in your life. That leprosy. And he went down the seventh time and he was made whole. God met him because he obeyed exactly what Elisha told him to do. What the Lord showed Elisha to tell Naaman. Amen. The Lord expects you and me to walk in that faith. To walk in obedience, because that seventh time made all the difference in the world in Naaman's life. And that's going to make all the difference in your life. When you dip the seventh time into that Jordan River. When you go down on your knees a seventh time, You go down on your knees at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're crying out to God. Crying out to God. And He tells you to go to a verse or to meet me here. Go there. Do this. Do that. Do it. Walk by faith. Learn the voice of God. He'll meet with you there. It goes on to say now in verse 15, and he returned to the man of God and all of his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Oh, praise God. Did you know that back in those days, according to Luke 4:27, if you were to turn to Luke 4:27, not that you have to right now, no one in those days were ever healed of leprosy except Naaman. And it goes on to say many things. Goes on to say here now. Goes on to say in verse 16, but he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. You see, freely give, you freely receive. It's not about buying and selling for miracles and things in the church. Now, Gehazi, as we'll soon read, was the first televangelist. He was the first crooked televangelist out there. As he began to try to connive and scheme and thinking to himself how that money was all there, gone to waste. Elisha didn't want it. I want some of it. We'll go there yet, but not yet. Not just this moment. It goes on to say, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? Now I want you to hear this. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Understand something. That earth was going to be his holy ground when he goes back to Syria. That earth was his altar unto the Lord. It's not a physical altar, a metaphorical altar. An altar, a place where he meets with God. On holy ground, in his mind, in his view, in his heart, that was holy ground, that earth that he would take back with that mule. Amen. That holy earth, we all need a place to go when we stand before God and we cry out to God with all our hearts. On bended knee, on an anguished heart, crying out, Lord God, make me whole. Heal me, Lord God. God in heaven, will you deliver me? Deliver me, oh God, from this issue, from this health issue, financial issue. Sin problem. Oh God. Naaman was converted. He was now a new man. He came up out of those waters of Jordan, walking in the newness of life, a changed man, quickened by the Spirit of God. And now he stood before, walking with humility, before the door of Elisha, giving him great respect. seeing, knowing, and understanding now. There is no other God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a picture of you and me. It goes on to say, go here. And according, by the way, we should all have that altar. As it says in Hebrews 13:10, a place where we truly meet alone. Not talking about some place in front of everybody, or I'm not talking about building a stone altar on the side of the river somewhere where people can see you. I'm talking about getting somewhere alone with God. Getting to a place where you mean business with God and He means business with you. That's the kind of holy place you and I need in our lives. That holy ground that He took back with Him. In this thing, the Lord pardoned thy servant. Understand now. You see, Naaman knew that he would have to go back to his king. And there was a god of Ramon there. A god of Ramon that they worshipped in Syria. And he would have to go into the king's chambers, and the king would have to bow to his god. He was talking with Elisha, asking him, pardon me. I know that I'm going to have to be faced with having to do this and be in compromising situations, but Elisha gave place to God's sovereignty in his life. He understood that God was doing a work in his life. You'll soon read now. And it says here, in verse 18, in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Ramon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramon. When I bow down myself in the house of Ramon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, this is Elisha, understanding the scope and vision and understanding that the malady and the situation that Naaman had to deal with going back to Syria. What did he say? Oh, what we all need to hear. Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Oh, praise God. He went away rejoicing in peace. Money intact, because it's a free gift of grace, my friend. Salvation is a free gift. Not to be sold and bought and mortgaged like these false prophets and teachers and preachers out there pilfering your wallet, telling you that if you want to be in the good graces of God, you better give this much to my ministry. Benny Hinn. And people roll in the chairs and seats. Oh, thank God I'm one of them. Thank God I'm one of them. I'm giving to His ministry. What a sham. What a mistake. It's not about money, folks. Because the minute some ministry becomes about money, it's got Ichabod written all over it. Ichabod. Meaning totally rejected by the living God. Ichabod. It should have nothing to do with the riches of man. No ministry. If you're truly of God, there should be no begging for money. There should be no manipulating. There should be none of that. Trying to get one hand over here and a favor over there, another underhanded, all kinds of shenanigans that they pull in these televangelists and these so-called healing crusades, and it's a mess. It's a big mess. They've shamed the name of Christ to an open shame. And you see, one day they'll be standing before God to give an account for that. Amen? Don't ever forget that. Goes on to say, oh, here we go. Here's the Benny Hinn and all those others of that ilk way back in the day. But Gehazi, oh boy, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Greed, my friend, greed. Filthy lucre. Taking and stealing and manipulating and coercing people. Lying to get it. Running after people. Calling them over the phone. I need your money. You remember that old timer? I know. I think Pastor mentioned it a few times. I had done my own research on some of that. I forget his name even. There's some guy that in Iowa. I've always said there's nothing good that comes out of Iowa, and I mean it. Oh, sorry about that. But anyways, you know what I mean. Anyways, he would tell you he got one thing right about himself. He was honest about his greed. And he got over the phone and he says, I want your money. And I want it now. You can make a check out. You can send cash. You can do this, credit card, or make it any way you want. But send this much and then you'll be blessed. Oh, bless your socks off. That reminds me, the incident that just happened over in Chicago, just right over yonder, over the border, right over here, Chicago. Some guy walking in the train depot, subway, had a sock full of feces, and he threw it at this woman who had this feces all over her face, hair, clothing. Right now they're looking for the man. They have no idea why. It just came to my mind just now. I don't know why I remembered it, but a sock. You know, he's going to bless your socks off, isn't he? This greedy little, you know what, full of what we just talked about. Full of feces, filth, lucre's sake. How terrible. That's what's in this world. That's what people are clamoring after. Oh, dear God, help us. And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men. Now, this is a flat-out lie. He's running after Naaman. Naaman gets off his chariot, is all well. Freshly, brand-new, born-again Christian. This is a metaphor, by the way. He was a brand-new, just brand-new in the Lord. Getting off his chariot to ask, is all well? And this greedy little Gehazi, running after his money, coming up with one lie after another, goes on to say, so Gehazi followed after Naaman, And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him. And he said, "Is all well? Is everything okay, my friend?" So gracious, innocent. "Is all well?" But look at there. Gehazi. He goes on to say, and he said, "All is well. My master has sent me." Oh, really? "Saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets." Now understand here. He's cursing himself with a double portion of leprosy. It goes on to say, "I pray thee," he says, "2 young men, the sons of the prophets, give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents." And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. Here he had his own servants carrying what Naaman, who ran greedily after that raiment and money. And he even had his 2 servants carry it for him. Isn't that the way of the world? Isn't that just the way it is in many churches and ministries out there today? Ushers taking you, some woman would come in, and or man, "Can I see you to the front seat?" "Well, that'll cost you $100 to sit in the front seat." Oh, "What about just right over there? That'll be $75. Oh, and by the way, the next seat section is 50, 25, and then for the poor people, we have way in the back there, I don't know if you can see, you know, over yonder, some chairs or something over there, way in the back, you can find a place over there for the poor people, and you know, for whatever they might want to give." But that's the same mentality as we're seeing here. And it goes on to say, verse 24, "And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house and let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master." "And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? Did you not see that the Lord knows all things?" The Lord sees everything. He knows all that we do in private. There is no secret before God. He sees it all. Everything. You can't hide anything from God. There's no such thing as trying to fornicate behind, you know, at home, or you go somewhere else to fornicate, or whatever, you know, you might do. God sees it. He sees it all. You can't hide it from your church members. You see? There's no hiding from God. It reminds me, these people who have a leprosy and a sin problem in New York, how that this Mayan calendar talking about how the world was going to end, and I'm going to tell you what is going to happen when the world really ends and what people are really going to do. They're going to have a fling with other people. They want to have sex with other people. They say, "I want to go out with a bang. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have a good hot time." That's what I was reading the other day. And they're talking about that we're going to go, and we're going to go to the bars, we're going to go do this, do that. I need a boyfriend, I need a girlfriend, and we're going to have a good hot time, is what they said, quote unquote, before the end of the world. This is, if I'm going to spend my last day, how do you want to spend your last day on earth? And this is what the lost are doing. Giving no thought to their eternal soul. And this was going on all over New York. They had sex parties in Russia. Sex parties in New York. And everywhere that you could think of. What a shame. What a mess. That's the way of the world. That, my friend, is leprosy of the soul. Totally leprous. It goes on to say, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? You see, God will give you discernment. When you hear from God, I'm not talking about assumptions. I'm not talking about assuming anything without merit. I'm talking about discernment. I'm talking about the Lord God in heaven revealing things to you. Secrets, things. God knows how to do it. But you can't mock God and get away with it and live. There's no such thing as mocking God and getting away with it. What happens here could happen to all of us if we're not careful. And it says here, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, he was reading his mail, wasn't he? He was telling him exactly what happened before Gehazi could even say a word. Asking him a question, and Gehazi flat out lied to his face. Oh boy, is it a time to receive money? In other words, is this a time to start partying and drinking, wining and dining when you see the Lord is about to return? Is it a time to put party clothes on, dress real provocatively to tempt other people? To do things that ought not to be mentioned? Is it a time to go drinking and carousing when the Lord is about to come back, the horses chomping on the bits? Kicking their hooves, grunting, about ready to pierce the sky wide open? The Lord with a sword dipped in blood, ready to judge this earth, coming back full of wrath, and people are slitting their own throats, laying their neck wide open to be cut by that wrath. Because they decided they're going to have a last fling. They're going to go have a hot time, is what they said. That sounds like 1970s jargon. But that's what I was reading. I could hardly even believe what I was reading. I thought, this can't be. It just can't be. But it was. Full of sickness, death, and sorrow. Filth, greed. That's what this world offers you. God offers a better way. But look, this is what happens. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants. Oh, this was an exposure of sin, a rebuke to Gehazi. Finally, it goes on to say, the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever. That's a double portion now. And he went out from the presence a leper as white as snow. Sin separates us from God. Did you know that when you are separated, a leper, full of sin, you have no desire to communicate with God? You just leave. Even not even thinking about it or asking questions or begging to stay. It doesn't say anything here about what happened to Gehazi after that. He just left. That's what happens when you are doomed and damned. You no longer care. You no longer have a concern whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. You just do your own thing. Out the door. So it is, my friends. The maladies, issues, and problems of sin are there for you and me to play in unless we repent. Unless God gets a hold of our hearts and cleanses us according to Romans 5:12. Wipes away that sin from our lives so that we don't wallow in that filth like a pig. But that's what happens when we do that. When we let go of all that is right, good and well, and we come subservient to sin. We trade it in for filth, for filthy lucre. All that was right and good is ignored and thrown away. And like those that were dancing around the golden calf, that ground will swallow them up. Whole, leprous, no hope, no faith, no way to go, no discernment, no road to find, holes in their clothing. But friend, there is a better way. It's called unconditional surrender. It's called repentance, obedience, faith, hope in God, in Jesus. It's called coming clean. Believe thou on the Lord Jesus. When the Lord said, stretch out thine hand, or he said to the palsy, get up, take thy bed and walk. Stretch out thy hand. Well, Lord, I've been trying for 20 years to stretch out my hand. I would if I could. But wait. Wait. John 5:24 talks about that, doesn't it? It says very clearly, but when he reached out his hand, God made him whole. He obeyed. He had faith to obey. And God met his faith and obedience and healed him right there. Naaman, baptized in Jesus' name, dipped himself, coming out walking in the newness of life. so is the importance of all of us coming to that place of repentance, of obedience, of going down in the waters of baptism, burying that sin for good, coming up clean, resurrected with Jesus by faith. Because on that last day, He's going to call your name to be resurrected, to be caught up in the air, if you're found written in the book of life. I want to challenge every one of you today. Take a deep look. Take a good, long, hard look. I've got to do it every day. Not just you, but me. I've got to look every day at my life. I've got to judge myself unless God judges me. What about you? Praise God. I'm going to ask the Foss family to be gracious now to go down and change into your baptismal clothing. And when you go down there, get your robes. Does anyone know how... Shirley, did you want to maybe, or someone, Jane or Anna, show them or something? Where the robes are and all. And then when they come back up, we're going to go ahead and proceed with the baptism. But in the meantime, we're going to sing a few songs, if you don't mind. Amen?